Morning, we had to consider a topic which very often occupies our minds if we are serious Christians. This morning's topic involves knowing God's will. Now in our lives, most of the time we know what we are supposed to do and we do it, right? Children, you are supposed to be obedient children. You will listen to your parents. You will do as they are instruct you. Alright? If you are obedient children, you probably save your parents a lot of money having to buy rotan to discipline you all the time. Right? So if you are children, you are supposed to be obedient. You are to study as best as you can. And you are supposed to help out around the home. That's what you are supposed to do. Right? For the younger people, the young adults, you are growing to be young men and women already. You are supposed to prepare for the future. You are to learn your responsibilities. If you are a man, you are going to be a man. What are you supposed to do? Okay, now, those of us who are adults, we are supposed to know what we are doing, right? If you are men who are married, you are supposed to be fathers, husbands. Take care of our wives and children. Be responsible to earn a living. So that our wives will not have to worry about the next meal or our children's education and so forth. Right? So we know what we're supposed to do. And we normally do it without thinking. And too often we are impatient for changes. We look at our babies, as they learn to crawl, they see their friends, their elder brothers and sisters who are running around, and they also want to follow. They want to get up and run and follow and play with their elder brothers and sisters. School kids, children in school, you look at your parents or your adult friends enjoying their freedom, working, being free to do whatever they want without being told to. So school children are impatient to grow up and become adults and to behave like adults and to enjoy the so-called freedom that the adult enjoys. Unfortunately, this is not always the case. Right? I know of school children who have left school after Form 3, after Form 5, and have gone to work. And then after 1 or 2 years, they expressed regret. And they come back home to school and say they wish they were back in school together with their friends. The working life is not as glamorous or as free or as happy as you think it is. Unfortunately, they were impatient. So similarly, for graduates, young people, you are eager, you're impatient to start on your career, to earn a good living, to build up yourself in this world. Many of us are impatient to know the future, because we realize that the decisions that we make now will affect us, not only ourselves, but the people that depend upon us. We would like to be sure that where we are staying is the right place for our families. The jobs that we are going to do will benefit us and not just cause us trouble. There are some people whose careers force the families apart, and that is not good. So we want to know the future. We like to look and see, like to know who we will be marrying, what type of wife or husband we will be getting, and so forth. And many people in this world, they want to know the future. They want to know the right direction to go to. They want to know the right decisions to make. So many people, they go to mediums. Some people, they say, oh, this temple, the medium is very powerful. Or rather, the God he worships is very powerful. You go to him, he will let you know whatever you want to know. People rely on the horoscopes, fortune cards, Ouija boards. I remember when I was a boy, my grandmother would take me to see an Indian man with his little bird in a cage. And the Indian man would take out his cards, lay it on the floor, open the cage, and the bird would jump out, pick a card. And then the man would look at the card and explain what the card meant to my grandma. And she would try and arrange her life in accordance to what the card revealed to her. It depends on the mood of the bird also, I suppose, sometimes. So there are people who depend on these things, right? The Chinese, we are now caught up with our feng shui, put your pot here, put your waterfall there, and then, you try and control the flow of energy into your business, into your home, and so forth. Even the Indians in India have caught up with this. You have your own version called a vashtu. You arrange things so that you can try and manipulate the energy of nature or the forces of the spiritual world, and you have positive energy flowing into your life, and you will have a happy life, you will have a happy family, everything will be good luck. You know? So people want this, and we cannot blame them, isn't it? Who wants to make the wrong decision? Who wants to take the wrong step and live to regret it? None of us would want to do that. The more responsible we are, the more we want to be sure that the decision that we make, the way that we go, is the right way. We cannot blame anybody for that. We all want to live happily ever after in this world. Not for ourselves, but even for our loved ones. And Christians, we are no different. Right? We have been saved by God from our sins. We no longer fear the future. Hell is not an issue for us. We are not going there. We are going to heaven, a wonderful place. But as responsible Christians, we want to know that the things that we do, the decisions that we make, the lives, how we live this life that God has given to us. Now we want to know that we are doing it the right way. We are living a life which pleases God and which will bring His smile upon us. So Christ-centered Christians want to live for God, live in accordance to His will. Now God has two wills for us. One is a revealed will. Revealed will means we can see it, we can know it, we can learn about it. And that is what we can find in the Bible, the revealed will of God. Secondly is the secret will of God, that He has not revealed to us. Such as how long we will live on this earth, who will we marry, how many children we will have, where we will end up living. This is the secret will of God, and that we do not know. Only God knows. And He will reveal it to us as we live our lives in accordance to His revealed will. And this morning I would like to focus on knowing God's revealed will for us. Okay. Dalam dunia ini, ramai orang ingin tahu masa hadapan mereka. Mereka ingin tahu cara yang betul untuk hidup. Kerana mereka tahu, orang yang bertanggungjawab, mereka tahu apa mereka buat sekarang ada kena mengena dengan masa hadapan mereka. So, ramai orang dalam dunia ini, mereka ingin tahu cara yang benar, cara yang betul atau masa depan mereka. Dan ramai orang pergi ke kuil, minta bantuan dari dewa-dewa, mereka pergi untuk membaca tangan mereka, mereka ikut nasihat dari orang feng shui atau washtu untuk supaya masa depan mereka akan terang atau bagus. Orang Kristian yang hidup untuk Tuhan juga sama gitu. Kita mau hidup dengan benar untuk Tuhan. Kerana kita sudah diselamatkan dari dosa-dosa kita oleh Tuhan. Dan nyawa kita ini bukan kita punya, tapi adalah kepunyaan Tuhan. Dan kita mau hidup dengan benar, dengan cara yang sudah diaturkan oleh Tuhan untuk kita. Kita mau belajar bagaimana kita tahu keinginan Tuhan dalam hidup kita dalam dunia ini. Now, first thing I will look at is God's way of leading Israel. Right? We read just now in Numbers chapter 9 Numbers 9 verses 15 onwards. Okay, a little background to what was happening during this period. The Israelites had been slaves for 400 years in Egypt. 400 long years they were slaves in Egypt. They had no freedom. They were controlled by the Egyptians. The only thing they could do was to work as laborers for the Egyptians to build their pyramids and all their tombs and so forth. So for 400 years, they suffered under the Egyptians. And then at the right time, at a predetermined time by God, God sent Moses. Moses went into Egypt, confronted Pharaoh. And God used Moses to free the Egyptians, to free the Israelites and bring them out of slavery from Egypt. And so now they were traveling in the desert. And God was leading them towards the promised land. God promised that they will bring them out from Egypt and bring them to a land of overflowing with milk and honey. So they were traveling in the desert. And God was leading them miraculously. In the day, they will see a pillar of cloud, and they will follow the cloud. Wherever the cloud went, they will follow. And if they had to travel at night, they will see a pillar of fire in front of them, and they will follow that pillar of fire. And so God was leading them very visibly through the desert. And then God gave detailed instructions to Moses to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle was actually a giant tent made to contain the ark. And in the ark was the Ten Commandments. And wherever the people stopped to rest, they would put up the tabernacle and they would worship God there. So the tabernacle represented God's presence amongst the Israelites. And the Israelites came to meet with God in this tabernacle. And the tabernacle was easily, it was very portable, easily put up and easily taken apart, because the people of God were traveling. All of them were living in tents. None of them built houses. And whenever the people stopped, whenever they saw the cloud stopped somewhere, the people would stop traveling, they would put up the tabernacle, and then they would camp around it. Around the tabernacle, there were 12 tribes of Israel, 3 on one side, 3 on the other, 3 on north, south, and 3 on east, and 3 on the west. And so they were living around the tabernacle of God. And God showed his presence visibly by having a cloud over the tabernacle during the day. At night, when it was all dark, they couldn't see anything, God showed his presence by appearing as a fire. A cloud of fire over the tabernacle. And so when the people looked, they could see wherever they were staying in the camp, they could look towards the tabernacle and they could see the cloud, or they could see the fire, showing that the presence of God was with them. And then in verse 17 it tells us, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. So whether the Israelites stayed or moved, it depended on the cloud. They were always looking out for the cloud. So no matter how long the cloud remained, Israel followed. In verse 22, whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. So the people traveled. They were led by God. They could see God's presence in the cloud or in the fire. And whenever the cloud or the fire stopped, they stopped. They put up the tabernacle, they stayed around it, and they could see God's presence clearly and visibly by the cloud. The cloud during the day, and the fire by night. And God provided the Israelites prophets like Moses and Miriam to act as his prophets. So they were spokesmen for God. And whenever they stopped traveling, when they settled down, they worshipped God. Moses would teach the people about God, teach them about his laws, teach them about God's will for them, and so forth. So the people learn. And we see the way God's leading for these people of Israel is just like a parent caring for his newborn baby. Those of us who have experience with new babies, what do you do with them? You like to hug them, right? You like to smell them. It's very nice to stick your nose into their hair. There's a fragrance which is unimaginable sometimes. So the new parents would, what you say, baby their babies. They'll take care of them, they'll hug them, they'll love them, they'll kiss them. And the moment the baby cries, they'll run to them and see what's wrong and so forth. And so the Lord God was babying his people with his presence. Wherever they camped, they just had to look towards the tabernacle and they would see God's presence there, in the cloud or in the fire. And whenever the cloud or the fire moved, they followed. They followed him. So it showed that God was watching over Israel, and he responded, and they were supposed to respond to God by watching and waiting for him. So wherever they stayed, wherever they stopped, wherever they camped, they would keep their eyes on the tabernacle and see whether the cloud was there or not. During the day, maybe they're doing their work, repairing their tents, taking care of their sheep and so forth. As they're doing their work, maybe they just turn around and look towards the direction of the tabernacle and see whether the cloud was there, to see whether the fire was there. And at night, when most people were sleeping, we would believe that they were watchmen, awake. Not to watch out for enemies or what, but they would be watching out towards the tabernacle to see whether the fire above the tabernacle moved. You say perhaps it was midnight or 3 in the morning, suddenly the cloud of fire moved away. Then the watchman would wake up the whole camp and say, "We are moving, because God is moving." And so they followed God. They followed God. And they followed God this way for 40 years. For 40 long years, the people of God pitched their tents, put up the tabernacle, and they watched. And they waited. They watched and they waited to see what God was going to do, where God was going to lead. 40 years they did this. And the Lord God led them bit by bit towards the promised land. And finally, after 40 years, God brought them safely to the promised land. By this method. Every day, looking at the cloud over the tabernacle, or the fire over the tabernacle. God showed His presence to them, and God led them, and God took care of them. If you read through the book of Exodus and so forth, you see that God fed them with manna from heaven. They didn't have to work for a living. They didn't have to plant. They just had to collect. And when the people of Israel finally arrived at the promised land after 40 long years of traveling in the desert, the Bible tells us that their clothes did not wear out. Their sandals did not wear out. In this day of wear and tear, you buy something, wear after a while, you have to throw it away. You have heard of shoes made of cardboard or not? My friend in China told me once, be careful of high-class shoes from China. Some of them may be made from cardboard. They look like a real thing. You wear it in the rain, you're finished. So anyway, you can imagine things which can last 40 years, right? Maybe in the many years past, people made things which can endure. But now you wear something for a while, it gets torn, it gets worn out. But imagine for 40 years the people wore their clothes and their sandals and traveled and did not wear out. But God, the creator of all things, He took care of them. He made sure that they traveled safely, they traveled in the right direction, and their clothing and their sandals did not wear out. The nation of Israel, as they traveled through the wilderness towards the promised land, their life was totally centered around God. Their life was totally dependent upon God for the direction, for the timing, and so forth. They watched and they waited upon God. They looked towards God. So kita lihat dalam buku Bilangan, bab 9 tadi, orang Israel, mereka sedang menuju ke tanah yang dijanjikan kepada mereka oleh Tuhan. Mereka sudah dibebaskan dari menjadi hamba abdi di negara Mesir. Dan mereka sudah keluar dan sekarang Tuhan sedang melindungi mereka dan menjaga mereka ke arah tanah yang dijanjikan. Dan mereka, bila mereka berjalan itu, mereka ada membawa tabernacle atau rumah berhala untuk Tuhan. Dan di mana mereka berhenti, mereka akan mendirikan rumah berhala ini. Dan Tuhan akan menunjukkan bahawa Dia bersama-sama dengan mereka dengan awan pada hari siang. Dan pada waktu malam, Dia menunjukkan kehadirannya dengan awan yang bercahaya. Dan orang Israel, selagi mereka lihat awan itu berada di atas rumah berhala itu, mereka akan berhenti, mereka tidak akan jalan. Mereka akan duduk dan tunggu untuk melihat apa Tuhan akan buat. Mungkin mereka akan berada di sana untuk 2 hari, 1 bulan, atau 1 tahun. Selama awan itu berada di atas rumah berhala, mereka akan duduk diam dan lihat ke arah Tuhan. Dan mereka membuat ini selama 40 tahun sampai mereka masuk ke tanah yang dijanjikan oleh Tuhan. 40 tahun mereka berjalan dalam padang pasir. 40 tahun mereka hanya lihat ke arah rumah berhala itu untuk lihat sama ada Tuhan ada hadir dengan mereka atau tidak. Mereka lihat ke arah mana Tuhan berada dan mereka akan ikut. Selama 40 tahun mereka dijaga oleh Tuhan dengan cara ini. So secondly, we look at God's leading us today. Now God is still leading us. He has not left us to ourselves. Of course, we are not looking out for clouds and fire today. There are some people who are looking out for miracles and tongues and so forth. It's not much different from looking out for clouds and fires. But God is still leading us in His own way. Now I ask you, boys and girls, adults, when we were children, when we were babies, you can remember all the way back to when you were a few months old or a few years old. How did your parents treat you? If you were a baby, I'm quite sure your parents would be hugging you and kissing you and holding you in their arms as much as they can. And how did they talk to you? Did they discuss politics with you when you were 6 months old? I doubt it, right? They'd be wasting their time. You wouldn't understand. The way they talk to you would be, often we would try and copy the sounds which the babies are making. They'll be gurgling to you. And unfortunately, some of us have a bad habit of pinching the cheeks. Some babies don't like that. So we treat children as children, as babies, right? Okay, now you are 10 years old. You're 15 years old. You're 30. You're 50. Do you expect your parents to pinch your cheeks? Do you expect your parents to gurgle to you? And they certainly won't stick their nose into your hair, right? Because you're sweating and you have dandruff and so forth. And children will not want their parents to treat them like babies, isn't it? Some of you children, when you went to school, on your first day, at the gate, you will turn around and tell your parents, "Don't follow me. I want to go into school on my own." Right? You want to be treated as grown up. And that is what God is doing to us. The church of God, the Christians in this world, can be likened to a person who is growing up. When we were young, when the church was young, when the Bible was not complete, God dealt directly with us. He was treating us like children. But after that, when the whole Bible is complete, God changed His way of leading us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says here, "But when that which is perfect has come," that refers to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 10, "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I understood as a child, I taught as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." God does not need to reveal Himself visibly to us anymore, because we are now adults. The Church of Christ has grown up, because we have the Bible complete for us. Now the Bible is ready for the church and for every Christian to use in seeking God's will. And we Christians believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us. We are not left to wander aimlessly in this life, because each Christian soul has been bought at a very, very high price. A price that we can never imagine. We have been bought with the blood of Christ. So something valuable, so valuable, would God leave it alone like that? No. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And He wants to lead us in the right way. He does not want us to be driven by the winds of this world, by the fashions of this world, by the ideals of this world. No. He wants us to be led by Him. And the question is, do we know God's plan for our life? Do we know how God is leading us and where He's leading us to? If you want to know that, then we must go back to look at how God governed the life of Israel. How He led them. And what did the people of Israel did? There are two words here, keywords I want to focus on now. And that is watching and waiting. God led the people of Israel by making them watch, by making them wait. Nah, kita lihat bahawa Tuhan masih membimbing kita dalam dunia ini. Tuhan sudah menyelamatkan kita dari dosa-dosa kita. Setiap orang Kristian bernilai kepada Tuhan. Dia tidak meninggal kita begitu saja. Dia sudah menyediakan cara yang benar untuk kita hidup dalam dunia ini. Dia menyediakan Alkitab yang lengkap untuk kita belajar. Dan melalui Alkitab kita tahu arah yang kita seharusnya pergi dalam hidup ini. Kita bukan anak-anak lagi. Bila kita anak-anak, ibu bapa kita akan cium kita atau apapun sebagai anak. Tapi sekarang kita sudah dewasa. Kita mau diberi hormat sebagai seorang dewasa. Sekarang gereja kita, gereja dalam dunia ini sudah menjadi orang dewasa. Dan Tuhan sudah memberi kita Alkitab untuk membimbing kita. Itulah cara dia. Kita lihat cara Tuhan membimbing orang-orang Israel. Orang Israel mesti melihat ke arah Tuhan. Dan orang Israel mesti menunggu untuk arahan dari Tuhan. Mereka mesti lihat dan mereka mesti tunggu. Watching. Let's look at the first word called watching. Watching means to be on guard or be ready for something to happen. What does it mean for a Christian to be watching? What are we to watch? TV? Movies? No. We are to be watching for God through His Word, the Bible. This is where we see God. We are not just flesh and bones. What you see here is not me, not the whole me. When I die, this will rot and disappear. There is another part of me called my soul. As this physical body needs physical food, so the spiritual side needs spiritual food. That's why everywhere we go, every continent we go to, there is religion. Man must worship something. Whether it's the rocks, or the moon, or the stars, or the gods and goddesses of their own imagination, they must worship something above themselves because there is eternity built into the soul of man. We know that we are finite. And we realize there is something that is bigger than us, something which is infinite. And it is God. But unfortunately, many people have gone the wrong way and worship wrong gods. Even the atheists, you know who the atheists are? There are people who say, no, there's no God. They have a religion of their own. They have a faith of their own. And their faith is based on the fact that there is no God. So everywhere they go, they will preach this message, there is no God, no God, no God. And they try to convince you. And they will try to find proof that there is no God. Their God is a God without name. A God without shape, without name. So they have a religion of their own. And they go around pushing it. Christians, we have a way of life, not just a religion. We have a Bible which has revealed this way of life to us. The Bible is all about the plan of God for saving sinners. This plan revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible reveals to us who He is. The Bible reveals to us why He has come. Why He had to die on the cross. The Bible reveals to us what He has achieved and how He has saved us. In Luke chapter 14 verse 9, the Lord Jesus declares, He who has seen me has seen the Father. Confusing, huh? If you read the Old Testament, it says we cannot look at God. We cannot see God because God is holy, God is perfect. We are sinners. If we see Him, we will die. So it's just like you build a rocket ship and you travel towards the sun. The nearer to the sun you are, the more danger you are in. Because the sun will become so hot, the ship will melt and you will die. It's the same thing. Can we see God and live? He cannot. But the Lord Jesus Christ came as a man, He lived as a man, and He revealed God to us through His life, through His words, and through His death. So when he can say, when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, when we see him, we see the Father. Therefore, it goes to say, when we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can learn about our God, our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived for 34 years. He actively ministered for about 3 to 4 years. He fed thousands of people using a few fish and some bread. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He even raised up the dead. But the Bible is all about his teachings. It focuses more about what he has taught us about himself and about God and about salvation of sinners. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ declared in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible is God's word. If the Lord Jesus Christ placed such importance on the word of God, can we as Christians neglect it? That's why in this church, in any good church that claims themselves to belong to God, the service must revolve around the word. It must be read, it must be preached, it must be prayed upon. The church must keep close to the word of God. The individual Christian must keep close to the word of God. You must read it, you must meditate upon it daily, you must learn from it. How does a baby grow up? Does a baby crawl one day and the next day is running? No, isn't it? If you see such a baby, you'll be worried. Not normal. How do you learn to walk right? How do you learn to walk and talk and write? How do you learn to become a responsible adult? How did you learn to drive? How did you learn to use a computer? How did you learn to cook? You just went to the kitchen one fine day, threw everything in the pot. You have a meal and everybody admires you. You probably burned a few eggs, overboiled the rice and so forth before you got to the right thing. Right? So we have to learn bit by bit. Children learn from us. They copy us. That's why parents be careful of what you do at home. You may behave one way in the church, you behave another way at home, your children will reveal it to us. Children learn. Bit by bit. They watch and they learn, one step at a time. We are not robots. You download a program and then you are expert in everything. No. We learn bit by bit. The same way we Christians learn the will of God, bit by bit. In Isaiah chapter 28 verse 10, it says here, for precept must be upon precept. Precept means a rule regulating our behavior. So precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. So as our children are taught to grow up bit by bit, God teaches us step by step. And in the process of teaching us, God has prepared his servants for us. That's why a church has a pastor, a man who has set his life aside to study the word of God, to absorb its truths, to live by its truths as an example for us. So we who are in a church, we are blessed with a good pastor, we must value them. We must sit under them and learn from them, value them, and follow them. We should encourage them, pray for them. The devil is always attacking the church leaders, tempting them, discouraging them, and so forth. So we as a church, if we have a good pastor, let us count our blessings. Let us pray for them, let us encourage them, let us hear them, and follow them. And so God teaches us, bit by bit, through his word, through his servants. God does not expect us all to be experts in theology, or know every word. Even after reading the word of God for a lifetime, you still cannot know everything that is in it. But God expects us to spend time and effort picking this book up to read and to learn. You think back to the Israelites back in the desert. Each morning they wake up. to turn their faces to the tabernacle and see whether the cloud is there. Whatever they are doing, maybe they are out in the field taking care of their sheep. They will turn and see towards the tabernacle and see whether God's presence is there. At night, when most of them are sleeping, they will have probably have watchmen walking around, not to take care of the camp, but just to look at the tabernacle to see whether the cloud is moving. They were watching, constantly looking towards the in the direction of God. So we Christians today, we have no cloud to look at, we have no fire to admire. Don't think of miracles. We have to look to the Word of God. We have to watch for God in the Word of God for our guidance. And most of us need 3 meals a day, isn't it? If you skip 1 meal, you have less energy to do your work really. I have a friend who knows what time the day, 12 o'clock exactly when it is, because his stomach starts grumbling. So without a watch, he knows this is 12 o'clock, I have my lunch. We need 3 meals a day for this physical body, which will rot and die one day. What more importance should we give to our soul? Let us feed our souls with the food which the soul requires. Let us give it good spiritual food. That's why our church plays such importance on meetings. For the Sunday worship, morning and evening. For the Bible studies. Come, listen and learn and feed. Feed on good, solid spiritual food so that your soul will grow. Your mind will be enlightened. And you will know the presence of God. You will know His leading. People line up for a good meal outdoor, outside. When KFC was first launched in KL in Sungai Wang Plaza, people lined up outside KFC. They lined up outside. I think the line went all the way outside the plaza. Line up for KFC. Physical food. With too much MSG, you don't know what else rubbish they put in. What more importance should we give to our spirit, our souls? Give it good food. That we may be strong. That our minds be clear. About our lives, about the direction that we are supposed to go. Let us feed ourselves. Let us watch for God through His Word. So, Tuhan membimbing kita melalui cara di mana kita mesti lihat ke arah Tuhan. Di masa Israel, orang-orang Israel, mereka selalu berhala ke arah rumah berhala itu untuk melihat kehadiran Tuhan. Sama ada waktu siang atau malam, mereka akan selalu lihat ke arah itu untuk lihat sama ada Tuhan bersama-sama mereka atau tidak. Dan mereka mau lihat ke arah mana Tuhan ada pergi supaya mereka boleh berikut. Hari ini kita tidak perlu cari awan atau api. Tuhan berada dengan kita melalui Alkitab. Kita mesti belajar, kita mesti mendengar khutbah, kita mesti memakan masa untuk membaca dan berdoa melalui Alkitab ini. Kita mesti datang ke gereja sering untuk dengar khutbah, untuk Bible study, untuk bersama-sama belajar mengenai Tuhan. Kerana dalam Alkitab kita akan tahu siapa itu Tuhan. Dan kita mesti datang sering. Kita setiap hari mesti makan kan? 3 kali setiap hari kita mesti makan. Itu untuk badan kita. Roh kita pun perlu makanan rohani. Makanan rohani itu terdapat dalam Alkitab ini. So kita mesti sering datang ke gereja untuk memberi makanan rohani yang lengkap, yang bagus untuk roh kita. Supaya dengan Alkitab, melalui Alkitab ini, fikiran kita akan jelas mengenai arah mana yang Tuhan ingin kita berjalan. Melalui Alkitab ini, kita akan tahu kehadiran Tuhan dalam hidup kita. So, kita mesti selalu lihat ke arah Tuhan. Lihat kepada Dia melalui Alkitab ini. And then secondly, as the Israelites watched in the direction of God, they had to wait. Now in this life of many instant things, we don't realize that a lot of things, a lot of what happens in our life involves waiting, whether it's long wait or a short wait. How long do you have to wait for a baby to appear in this world? All across the world it is 9 months, right? Except by accident it's a premature birth, maybe 6 months. But a normal healthy baby takes 9 months after conception, right? After the sperm meets the egg. 9 months for a normal baby to come into this world. When we plant a seed, those of us who have green thumbs, we plant a seed, do we expect to plant a seed today and we have a full grown tree tomorrow? No, we have to wait. Whatever we do, whatever we have done, maybe we did a project, or we studied for our exams, or we prepared a nice cake, we put the batter, pop it into the oven. Whatever we have done, however hard we have tried, whatever effort we have put into it, however careful we have been, at the end of all that, we have to wait. We have to wait to see the results. The Israelites in the desert, every day, they went about their normal lives. They looked towards God. They took care of their sheep, they took care of their families, they prepared their tents. They did whatever they had to do. But they constantly watched the cloud or the fire above the tabernacle, and they waited and waited. Waiting involves two things. It involves patience and it involves faith. When we know that something is going to happen, when we believe something will happen, we will wait there, right? Children, when you come home from school, you smell something good. You know your mother is cooking your favorite meal. You are hungry. You sit by the table and you wait for your mom to pop those dishes on the table for you, right? You won't be silly enough to run out and play with your friends on an empty stomach. You will wait there because you know your mommy is cooking your favorite meal and it's going to be served onto you hot and fresh and you're going to enjoy it. And so you are willing to wait. You wait. And you know that your mom is a good cook. So she will prepare a good meal for you, not some burnt charcoal sausage or something like that. So, knowing God's will is following what He has revealed to us and then waiting for Him to act upon what we have done. In Psalms chapter 37 verse 9, it says here, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." And this is so very true of the man Noah. You remember Noah? Noah lived in a world which was becoming so wicked. God saw this world and he was unhappy and he wanted to wipe it clean. But Noah found favor in God's eyes. And so God appeared to Noah and told him, "Build this ark, this dimension, so high and so big, enough to keep a pair of each animal in the ark. And you enter the ark with your families." He had three sons. Okay? So God revealed His will to Noah. What did Noah do? Did he complain? He said, no, it doesn't make sense. What should I follow? Noah obeyed God's revealed will. He built the ark. How long he took, we don't really know. Maybe a year, maybe a couple of years. But we know, the Bible tells us, he built the ark with his sons and maybe with some workers, hired workers. But he built the ark. How long he took, we do not know, but he built it. And when we can be quite sure that he had no peace building it. His friends would come and laugh at him. His relatives would come and condemn him. "You silly man, why are you building this horrible looking thing in the middle of nowhere? Where are the clouds? Where are the rain?" They will criticize him, they will condemn him, they will discourage him. But what did Noah do? Did he give up? No. He continued following the revealed will of God. And he built the ark. He completed it. And when the floods came, only Noah and his family and animals in the ark were saved. So all of us are descendants of Noah. The evildoers, people who laughed at Noah, who disbelieved God, they were cut off. from the earth. But Noah, who waited upon the Lord, he inherited the earth. He knew God's revealed will. He followed it. He obeyed it and he waited. And he was blessed. Another example is our Lord Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We'll read a number of verses concerning his early life when he was still a boy. Luke chapter 2, first of all, look at verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So he was a teenager, 12 years old, he went to worship God in the temple in Jerusalem. And then in verse 46, now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. So apparently the Joseph and Mary left Jerusalem and they forgot about, they didn't realize that the Lord Jesus was still in Jerusalem. They searched for him for 3 days and then they went back and found him in the temple doing what? Listening and asking questions of the teachers, of the spiritual teachers in the temple. And then please go down to verse 51. Then he went down with them, his parents, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sent to this earth to do the most important thing for us. It is the salvation of our souls. He came to live and to die for us. Without him, each and every one of us here will go to hell because we have sinned against God. How was the Lord Jesus Christ prepared for this important mission, this important work of saving our souls? Did he go to a monastery and live up in a hill away from everybody? Did he go to a special school for religious studies? What did he do? He obeyed the revealed will of God for him. He grew up as a boy. He became a good brother because after him came his brothers and sisters, so he had to learn to take care of them. We were sure that he was an obedient son, a good elder brother, and eventually he became a carpenter. He learned to be the trade of his father, Joseph. That's why in verse 52 it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Physically he became strong. That means he ate the right food, he slept at the right time, not burning midnight oil, doing nonsense, malepak here and there. He took care of himself. That's why when he ministered God's word, when he went around traveling in Galilee and Judea, he was walking all the time. And he was strong enough to take that. No, he wasn't riding a horse or a donkey everywhere to teach. He walked, and he walked. So he was strong enough to do that. So if he was wasting his time as a young man, drinking, not taking care of himself, you think when he started his ministry to walk around teaching, he probably would have collapsed after the first few months. But he did it for 4 years. So he increased in stature. Stature means his physical strength. He increased in wisdom because he spent time in the temple learning about his father, his God. He increased in favor with God and men, because he spent time worshipping his God. He spent time learning. He spent time praying to God. He increased in favor with men because he became a responsible person. He was subject to his parents in verse 51. He subjected himself to his parents. That means he obeyed them. Although he was God, he submitted himself. He subjected himself to his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary. He learned to be a good boy. He learned to be a good brother. He learned to be a responsible young man. At the same time, he learned about God. He prepared himself for the ministry. And when he came, he was ready. So you see here, this verse in verse 42 mentions that he was 12 years old when he entered. He was in the temple, questioning the leaders. And then it mentions in 52 that he increased in stature. There's no mention of him after that, what happened until he was 30 years old and he started teaching. So from 12 years to 30 years, there's an 18-year silence of what he did. But we know that you can see what he was doing when he was young. Worshipping God. Learning about him. Learning his word. He was learning to be a responsible person. That's why he increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. So our Lord Jesus Christ followed the same principle of knowing God's will. Watching, waiting. Watching, waiting. In today's world of instant things, from instant noodles, instant porridge, sometimes even instant babies. There's some people who go out and buy a baby. So, a lot of instant things today. We want results fast. We go to the ATM machine, we pop in the ATM, we get our money. Too often in the front of a traffic light, the moment it turns green, the car behind you is honing. He wants you to move. We are getting impatient. And Christians, too many Christians are impatient. Many Christians want to be super spiritual, want to be holy in 10 quick steps. You're looking for a shortcut to happiness. You want to find a secret key to unlocking knowing God's will. You want to live useful lives. No? You want to be powerful witnesses for God. You want to be blessed by God. You want to have His smile upon you. And you want it fast. Fast. No effort. Just God's blessing upon you. You imagine the apostles with the tongues of fire coming upon them. And they were blessed. And you want it to be like that. No. There is no secret key to knowing God, what God wants you to do. There is no secret to living your life in accordance to God's will and enjoying His smile upon you. That is only the matter of looking into the Bible, looking in the direction of God, doing what He has revealed for you, and waiting. Doing and waiting. Whatever your circumstances may be, no matter how bad or how good, you are to obey the revealed will of God and follow it. And follow it. One very good example in our modern times is China. After the communists took over, they clamped down on the Christian faith. Churches were destroyed. Pastors were arrested. Christians were thrown into jail. Bibles were banned. For 70 years, we thought the Christian church in China was dead. Only the official ones were still alive. But the Chinese Christians watched and waited. They looked toward God. They obeyed His revealed will. They met secretly. They read their Bibles. Many of them didn't have a copy, so they memorized certain passages. They shared their Bibles. They came secretly to worship God. They obeyed God's revealed will. They prayed. They continued in their faith. And now we know that there are millions and millions upon millions of Christians in China. They watched and they waited. And God blessed. So kalau kita mau tahu apa Tuhan ingin kita buat dalam hidup kita, kita mesti lihat ke arah Tuhan melalui Alkitab. Kita mesti patuh kepada apa yang Dia sudah memberitahu kepada kita. Kita mesti ikut arahan Dia. Dan selepas mengikut arahan Dia, kita mesti tunggu untuk Tuhan beraksi dalam hidup kita. Kita lihat Noah. Noah diberitahu oleh Tuhan, binalah kapal yang besar itu, karena saya mau menghapuskan dunia ini. Itulah keinginan Tuhan yang diberitahu kepada Noah. Apa Noah buat? Dia ikut. Kita tidak tahu berapa lama masa dia ambil untuk membina kapal itu, baktera itu. Tapi dia ikut. Mungkin kita tahu, kawan dia atau saudara sudah menguji dia, mengetawa dia, kau panggil dia bodoh atau apa, tapi dia teruskan. Dia mengikut arahan Tuhan dan dia tunggu. Bila baktera itu siap dan air bah datang, hanya Noah dan keluarga dia dan haiwan-haiwan dalam baktera itu diselamatkan oleh Tuhan. Kita lihat Yesus Kristus, bagaimana dia disediakan untuk menjalankan tugas dia, kerja menyelamatkan kita dari dosa-dosa kita. Apa yang dia buat semasa dia kecil? Dia ikut arahan Tuhan. Dia menjadi seorang anak yang taat, yang mengikut arahan ibu bapa dia. Dia pergi ke rumah berhala untuk bersembah kepada Tuhan. Dia belajar mengenai Tuhan. Dan dia membuat ini selama 30 tahun. Sampai masa dia untuk dia keluar untuk menginjilkan dunia ini. So, kita mesti ikut apa yang Tuhan sudah memberitahu kita secara terang. Ikut. Buat apa yang Tuhan arahkan kita. Selepas kita sudah buat, kita tunggu. Kita tunggu untuk masa Tuhan yang ditetapkan oleh dia. So, in conclusion, do we know what is God's will for us as a Christian? What does He want us to do in our short life? We must ask ourselves, do we know the Bible? What has the Bible taught us as Christians? If we claim to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are saved, what must we do? Have we been baptized? If we claim to be Christians, are we serving God? How do we serve God? Are we members of a local church and serving Him actively there? The Bible tells us, this is the word of God, this is our bread and butter. This is our life, our spiritual life. So are we valuing this in our lives? Or is this a must-have accessory for a Christian? We just hold this on Sunday. So that anybody who sees us with a Bible in our hand, they know this is a Christian. But at home, it collects dust on the shelf. What are we doing about God's revealed will to us in our lives? If we are not willing to obey what God has clearly laid out for us in the Bible, don't expect God to reveal any more things to you. If you're not willing to follow what He has clearly taught us in the Bible, you are not living in God's will. You are going your own way. Beware of that. But for those of us who are willing to submit ourselves to the will of God revealed in His Bible, rest assured, His blessings will come. You look at Noah. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at our brethren in China. They obeyed the revealed will of God. They watched and they waited. And they were blessed. So let us, as Christians, watch and wait. Watch and wait. Watch for God through the Bible. Follow what is clearly laid out for us. And then we have to wait. God has His own time to bless us. It may be long, it may be short, we do not know. But God will bless. Just as God promised the Israelites that He will lead them to the land of Israel, the promised land, He fulfilled that promise even after 40 years. He is leading us now to heaven through His revealed will in the Bible. And if we follow His will, we cannot go wrong. We will enjoy His blessings. for my non-Christian friends. You want to do the right thing in this world for yourself and for your families. It's a good thing. And there are a lot of things in this world which are drawing our attention. Some will say, invest in this fund so that you can have a lot of money when you're 50, 60 years old, so that your financial future will be secure. You don't have to worry about your retirement, don't have to worry about your children's education or medical bills and so forth. Well and good. There are some religions that are teaching you, come to this temple, worship to this God, they will reveal the future to you and so forth. These are all man-made ideas. The Word of God reveals to us a man who came from heaven. That man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to lead us back to heaven where we belong. He knows the way. And you should put your trust and faith in Him. Don't put your trust and faith in men, in prophets, in religious teachers, in sinsays or whatever. They are all men. They came from this world. They have never been to heaven, so they cannot lead you back there. They have never been there. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has. He was from heaven. He came down to this earth. He revealed Himself. He revealed His Father. He revealed the plan of salvation to lead us back to Him, to heaven. So place your faith in Him. Believe in Him. Ask Him to lead you. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you, and you will not regret it. In Luke chapter 21, these words tells us from the Lord Jesus, 21 verse 36, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." So turn your attention, turn your heart, turn your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the right direction. That is the right way. All other way is false. Let us close by singing hymn 134.